we can truly say when we left here that we worship God according to spirit, is with the right attitude, and according to revealed truth. John chapter 4 and in verse 24. So we thank each person for being here, and I'm certainly glad to be with you. I want us to talk about some things that Paul did not do. And the scripture reading this morning, we appreciate Jordan doing the very good job that he did in reading that for us. As we think about the fact that just as God was mighty with Peter and working with the Jews, that he was mighty with Paul and working with the Gentiles. And make a good follow-up sermon to this, some things that Paul did do, because he did a lot of things. So when you think about a man who was a very strong persecutor of God's people, but then he obeyed the gospel as recorded in Acts the 9th chapter, and he recalls in Acts 22 and Acts 26, and he goes on to write nearly half of the New Testament, and goes to such a variety of places as he is going out to preach the gospel to every creature which is under heaven. He says he did that in Colossians chapter 1. And the Lord instructed the apostles to do that in Mark chapter 16. And so I want us to think about, though Paul did do a lot of things, I want us to talk about very briefly some things that Paul did not do. 11 things I want to share with you. You could just grow the list and add more and more to it if you'd like to do that. But the first thing that I want you to think about, we'll take about 3 points from the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. As Paul is at a place called Miletus, and while there, he calls for the elders of the Church of Christ at Ephesus to come to him. And he has a conversation with them. He tells them many things. That's recorded in Acts the 20th chapter. And one of the things that Paul talks about that they was aware of, they was aware of his work. If I were to ask you, how long did Paul labor among them? Would you know the answer? Near the close of the conversation that Paul has with these Ephesian elders, or elders of the church at Ephesus, he says, how that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And so he was busy about doing those things. As you think about the many things Paul did, that would be one of the things you could include. That by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. But in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, Paul makes this statement to them. He says, and he says in verse 26, to kind of set better the context, he says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. How could you say that, Paul? Well, notice what he did not do. Verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Now, if you want to have blood of men upon your hands, gospel preachers and teachers, then shy away from teaching the Word of God. And hold things back. Paul did not do that. He says, I shun not to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Preachers are charged with the divine task of proclaiming the gospel of Christ. We've talked about that in a recent sermon. We talked about that in the Bible class. No preaching, you can forget about people obeying. Because you can't obey what you do not know. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And Paul, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, charged Timothy, preach the word, instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach it when it's popular, when it's unpopular, when it's cold and hot, when people want it and when they don't. Don't shun to declare the whole counsel of God. Paul did not do that. He presented to them exactly what God would have him to present. And so he shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. He did not do that. He's thinking about all these things of which Paul did not do. Number two, Paul says in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 20, he says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Brother Paul, tell me something that you did not do. I did not keep back anything that was profitable unto people. We need to take the lesson from that today. So many times, I'm sure, and hearing people from over the years, have shunned to do and to declare what God would say and keep things back because they're afraid of the response that it might have among the people who are gathered together. It might run them off. It might hurt their feelings. You might upset them. You might offend them. Now, we don't do what we do. We don't preach the gospel for that reason. that we might cause that reaction. But ladies and gentlemen, the same sun shining down might harden the clay while it softens the butter. The same gospel has a reaction on people's heart depending on what kind of heart it is. It might be hard because they reject it, or it might soften their heart as they receive it. Like the Jews did, many of them, in Acts chapter 2, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and cried out to the Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know what's profitable unto people? The Word of God. How much of it did Paul preach? Some of it? All of it. And we've got to do the same. I know it's profitable because of what Paul penned to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and then or 3 rather, in verse 15 beginning. When he talks to Timothy, he says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. For all Scripture is given of inspiration of God. That is, it was God-breathed. It came forth from God, not of man. Given by inspiration of God, and is profitable. So see, it's not guesswork that it might be profitable. It is profitable. For instruction and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Again, 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. I kept back nothing that was profitable. Now, we don't know what's on tomorrow, but I hope that it can always be said that I have not kept back anything that would be profitable to you. Number 3. Paul says in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 33, he says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Paul said, I didn't covet those things. I didn't want your money. I didn't covet your possessions. And he goes on to say, yea, you yourselves also know that these hands have ministered unto my necessity and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul says, I labored among you, and I didn't covet your gold, your silver, your apparel, but I worked for my necessities. Now, did Paul have a right to support? He sure did. But even Paul was wise enough to know when it was good to take and when it was not good. He would not accept it on occasions if the gospel was going to be hindered as a result of that. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we see the dangers of physical possessions. It's not that the possessions in and of themselves are wrong, that money in and of itself is wrong, but it's the what? It's the love of the money. The love of money is the root of all evil, verse 10, which while some coveted after, Paul says, I didn't covet your gold, your silver, your apparel. And right to Timothy, he says, while some coveted after, they have erred from the truth, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And then he tells Timothy, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Don't covet. Flee the things that might hinder. And oftentimes does. And so what did Paul not do? Covet any man's silver, gold, or apparel. But also a verse that I hope all of us can appreciate is found in the first chapter of the book of Galatians. As Paul is writing to these Christians who are trying to somehow be justified under the Old Testament law of Moses. And he's writing to tell them that won't work. If you seek to be justified by the Old Testament law of Moses, you're fallen from grace. Galatians 5 verse 4. How could that be said? Because the faith by which we are justified is this side of the cross. We're justified by the faith, the system of faith, the gospel accomplished by Jesus Christ as He shed His blood on the cross. But in Galatians chapter 1 verse 16, He says to reveal His Son in me. It says verse 15, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, immediately I went to other apostles to see what they might would have me to preach. I went to them to get permission for what I was going to say. Isn't that what the Bible says? He says, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't go up to the apostles, he says in verse 17 specifically, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Well, Paul says that God separated me from my mother's womb. called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, and immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. We're blessed here at Mule Street with a number of capable gospel preachers and teachers. And I'm thankful for that. And what I say to you, I say to me first. We need not look to the permission of men as to what we're going to preach, but to what God's book says. And so if you'll structure your sermons with that in mind, you'll be a lot better off for doing it. Don't worry about what someone's going to think about what you're going to get up and say. Be worried about whether or not God is going to be pleased with it. Galatians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Do we seek to please men or God? For if we yet please men, we should not be the servants of Christ. We seek to please God and not men. And so we don't have to have men's permission as to what we're going to do and what we're going to preach. God's given us permission. How do I know that? Read the book. And you'll read the charge, and you'll read also what you're to preach. Not your opinion or what I think or what I feel about it, but what God says about it. Paul received those things they did by revelation. He had to give it a defense, as it were, of his apostleship. In the book of Galatians and other places, as men just tried to discredit his apostleship, him being an apostle, but he presses so many times the fact that he received the message he was preaching from God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote it for in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. But also as you think about what Paul did not do, when he's talking to Agrippa in Acts 26, I mentioned to you he recounts his conversion. You read about it in Acts chapter 9. He recounts it in Acts 22 and Acts 26. Notice what he says as relative to this in Acts 26 and then verse 19. He says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa," as recounting the fact that the Lord appeared unto him as he went to Damascus. He was not converted till he got to Damascus, but the Lord appeared to him on the way to Damascus, to the city. He said, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not." We're talking about things Paul did not do. "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Too many times, too many people are disobedient to what God says. Well, they know what the book says. They understand it fully well, but they disobey it. We'll never make heaven our home without obeying the gospel. Revelation 22 and in verse 14. Paul says, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 5 and a host of other passages, you read about what Paul did and about what we're to do as Christians, obeying the Lord, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. And the world needs to listen up when they try to discredit obedience, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. Also, Romans chapter 1 verse 5 talks about the obedience of the faith. And so if we want to go to heaven, we're going to have to obey Paul. And Paul says, obey God. And Paul says, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." But something else that I appreciate about Paul, a man who was very well educated, we know, in the law, he knew the law of Moses, thought that he was doing God's service. He was very zealous, being exceedingly zealous of the tradition of the fathers, Galatians chapter 1, and persecuted the church, thinking he was doing God's service, but he wasn't. And yet when he obeyed the gospel and he preached to people, it was not with enticing words, excellency of speech or of wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 1, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, he says, "Now, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit." Now that doesn't mean that Paul was not a capable, able speaker. It's not to knock the props out from under Paul's oracle skills. It's not what Paul's saying. But Paul's saying that I wasn't known for smooth talking, for excellency of speech, for enticing words. And when he talks about wisdom, that doesn't mean that Paul did not speak with the wisdom of heaven. He's talking about the wisdom of men. So Paul says, when I was with you, I determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Again, 1 Corinthians 1, 19 through 21. It contrasts the wisdom of the world with the wisdom of God. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now that doesn't mean that preaching is a bunch of foolishness. But the world esteems it, counts it as foolishness. But also, Paul, the Bible says, I mentioned to you that he did not speak with enticing words. But number 8, he did not frustrate the grace of God. If you want to outline, there's still some in the back. You pick one up on the way out. Can grace be set aside, made to no avail, frustrated? According to Galatians chapter 1, verse 21, it can be. Again, Paul's writing to Christians, people like you and me that have obeyed the gospel of Christ. And notice what he says, Galatians chapter 1, verse 21. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And so he was busy about preaching the doctrine that though one time before his conversion he was trying to destroy it. And when you come to chapter 2 and in verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul lists a number of things that are in vain. If Christ had not risen from the dead, we're saved by the grace of God. Not grace only, but by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 8. But also, as you think about some things that Paul did not do, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 16, Paul mentions that he did not burden the brethren. He did not burden the brethren. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 16. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with God. I like the statement that is made in verse 15 as he says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And he asks a question in verse 17, did I make gain of you? That's a rhetorical question. No, he didn't covet any man's silver, gold, or apparel. He didn't burden the brethren. He often worked for his necessities. And Philippi, who was gracious to him, sent to his necessities when he says, no one else communicated unto me concerning giving and receiving, but you only, but you sent to my necessity. But he didn't burden the brethren. Again, Acts chapter 20 and in verse 34. Sometimes gospel preacher may be offered support. You got to know when to say no. It's not always expedient to the spread of the gospel to take it. But also, number 10. In Acts chapter 20 and in verse 24, Paul did not count his life dear unto himself. Too many times we marry ourselves to life, this life, and the possessions that we hoard up in it. Be careful about that. Be careful about putting your roots down too deep. We're not homesteaders. We're pilgrims and strangers. This world is not my home. You know the rest of that? I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So he did not count his life dear unto himself. Luke 14, verse 26. If any man will come unto me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Revelation 12 and in verse 11. Another passage, his last point. As you think about things Paul did not do. Galatians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Let's begin with verse 1 and you'll get a better sense of the context. And 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them that were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately, despoiled our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. One of the things that they ran into in the first century was folks saying you still have to be circumcised after the manner of Moses or you can't be saved. That's the point that is being made in Acts the 15th chapter. And this epistle within Acts 15 that they sent to the brethren was, we gave no such commandment. And wrote to them about some necessary things. Now what's verse 5? Paul writes and says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Some things Paul did not do, the last of which we're talking about this morning, Paul did not compromise. It's sad that even in the Lord's body, we've got too many members, too many times, compromising too many issues. Don't be a compromising person. Stand fast squarely on what the Bible says. Hold your ground and be faithful to what the Scriptures say. Not the ideas and the philosophies and opinions of men, but what the Scriptures say. Have enough backbone to stand, even if it means at the end of the day, you stand alone. Because we have heaven's assurance, penned by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it be not laid to their charge. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. And says that he was delivered of the Lord. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and shall preserve me into his heavenly kingdom. Even if you stand alone, you have the Lord on your side. And I tell you, and I hope you're convinced that me and the Lord make a majority against any number of people. Because God has assured us you overcome and you can come over and live with me for all eternity when life is over, which is the great thing of the book of Revelation. If you're here this morning, not a Christian, why not become one this morning? Preacher, what do I have to do to be saved? You do what they did in Bible days to be saved. Nothing more, nothing less. Here in the Gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, John 8:24. Repenting of your sins, Acts 3:19, confessing with your own mouth, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. Then, don't stop there. Be buried with Christ in baptism. For the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2 and then verse 38, to arise to walk in newness of life. When you do that, the Lord will wash away all your sins by the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. And add you to the Church of Christ, the one body of the New Testament, Acts 2:47. Maybe you're here this morning and you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord, you've not been faithful as you should, and you realize that you want to come home, you want to straighten all that up. You can by repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession unto God in prayer, and we have His assurance that He'll forgive us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Don't delay, come out now.